that God has a heart for the church. God has a heart for people. God's heart is for you. God's heart is for the person that's sitting next to you. And one of the things that I think stands in our way this morning in seeing the person that is next to me, seeing my neighbor, seeing the person that I work with, is when I get in the way. When I see too much of myself, when I get too involved in myself and what it is that I'm about and what it is that I want to accomplish in life, I fail to notice the person that God has placed right next to me who needs to be reached out to, honored and respected as a person. And one of the things I think that causes us to do that is we get so caught up in life and wrapped up in getting it done. Getting it done. Can you identify with me? We get so caught up in getting it done, doing things according to the program, doing things according to what is most important, what we deem to be most important. These are the kinds of things that stand in the way of us really accomplishing what the purpose is. Let me tell you another story. Once upon a time, the government had a vast scrapyard in the middle of the desert. Congress said someone may steal from it at night, so they created a night watchman position and hired a person to do the job. Then Congress said, how can the watchman do his job without instruction? So they created a planning department and hired two people, one to write the instruction and one to do the studies. Then Congress said, how will we know the night watchman is doing his job correctly? So they created a quality control department and hired two people, one to do the studies and one to write the reports. Then Congress said, how are these people going to get paid? And so they created the following positions, a timekeeper and a payroll officer, then hired two people to fill the positions. Then Congress said, who will be accountable for all of these people? So they created an administrative section and hired three people, an administrative office assistant, an administrative officer, and a legal secretary. Then Congress said, we have had this command in operation for 1 year and we are $18,000 over budget. We must cut back on overall costs, so they laid off the night watchman. You know, we laugh at that, but isn't it so true that we get so tied up in making something happen that we forget what we're about? We forget that the person that is sitting next to me is one of the most important things that God has placed on this earth. And that my purpose in life is, as the scripture says in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And I look at that verse, and I say, verse 3, and I say, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each have their high self-esteem. No, it does not. And I titled the message this morning, Get Over Yourself. And I don't want that to sound crude or uncaring. But the truth of the matter is, if we are genuinely going to care for someone else, we need to get over ourselves. Because it is in our programs, in our doing, in our structure, in our things, that we miss what we're really about. And that is caring for the one that God has placed next to you, whom you are supposed to recognize, and I am supposed to recognize as being a person that I esteem better than myself. You see, we can serve each other out of a sense of duty. We can do that. Those of us that are pastors, those of us that are lay pastors, we can serve each other out of a sense of duty. But I believe that we can do this or service to each other without esteeming the other person higher than myself. Because I believe once we really get a hold of the fact that the person that is next to me, my neighbor, the person that is sitting next to me in church or in school or wherever it might be, if I get a hold of the fact that I am to esteem them higher than myself, guess what? I believe that you will serve them to the utmost. I believe that. I believe that you will serve them to the honor and the glory of God once you learn to esteem them better than myself. In my relationship with Karen, I had to think about this. My relationship with Karen, I will not serve her to the fullest until I esteem her as better than myself. The Bible says, wives, submit to your own husbands. And you guys think, that's right. Tell it to them, Luke. Let me tell you something, guys. You know what the Bible says for you? The Bible says that you are supposed to be willing to die for her. She is only called to submit to you, but you are called to die for her. And I believe that in this here, once we learn to esteem each other in the way that God has created us to be and wants us to, once we learn to esteem each other in that way, then we will understand what it means to be ready and willing to die for our spouse. And our spouses will be willing and ready to understand what it means to be willing to submit when they understand that you esteem them to be better than yourself. Do you see where we're going with this? I believe that God has placed a call on each and every one of us, not just to the people that Paul was writing to in Philippi, but to all of us, that we are called to esteem the person next to us better than ourselves. And that's hard for us to do. That is difficult for us to do. I know that. Especially when someone treats you in a way that you feel is disrespectful. Especially when someone has different opinions than what you do. Especially when somebody is just totally against you. Don't you find it difficult to esteem them better than yourself? But you know what? That's what God's calling us to do. How do we do that? The Bible says in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 Peter 2:17, I say, where does that come from? It comes from right in here, right in here, right in the heart. And until we esteem others better than ourselves, we will continually fall into this trap that depending what you are or what a person represents, they're somehow, then it's okay. It's open game. You can disrespect them. You can dishonor them if they're not doing things the way that you say that you think they should or that I think they should. Somehow it frees me to be disrespectful. It frees me to dishonor because they're not doing it right. I mean, once they get it right, then I'll be able to respect them. I'll be able to honor them. First Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, and be courteous. Is there anything you find in this verse, verse 3? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Is there anything about me or I in that statement? Is there anything there that you can find in that verse that says, as long as they do it right, I can esteem them better than myself? Is there anything in that verse that says, as long as the school teacher does it right and gets everything right, then they can tell me, then they can give me instructions as it relates to learning and all that stuff. But until they get it right and do everything just right, I don't have to respect them. youth, young people here this morning, your parent may be telling you some good instruction in life, and they may be challenging you, and they may be disciplining you. And there are going to be times that I assure you, children, that your parents will not get it right and will not do it right. But you know what? You are still called by Scripture, by the Spirit of God, to esteem them better than you. Do you follow what I'm saying? In the workplace, you may be working for someone who is just a tyrant. You maybe have a supervisor over you who isn't getting it right. Does that relieve you of the responsibility of esteeming him better than you? Verse 1, it says this, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there's going to be any consolation in Christ, if the Spirit of Christ is going to be able to work through you and me to bring consolation to other people, then I need to learn to esteem others better than myself. It says, if any comfort of love, if there is going to be any comfort of love that comes through you and I to other people, then we need to learn, and I need to learn to esteem them as better than myself. If there's going to be any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if a fellowship of the Spirit is going to happen, then I need to learn to esteem others better than myself for the fellowship of the Spirit to work through me. You see, it is the energizing power that we have in relationship. If relationships are going to work, then we need to learn, you and I need to learn that it is my responsibility. Not the person sitting beside me, not the person that I'm reaching out to, not the person that I'm ministering to. It is my responsibility to esteem them better than myself. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, these will be fulfilled. Joy, by being like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And what is this? One accord and one mind. It is that we esteem others better than ourselves. Think about it, that if in every action, every interaction with a relationship or with a person that you have, if both people esteem the other one better than themselves, think about it. Think about what that would do to relationships. If I meet you this morning and I esteem you better than me, and that my goals are to see you reach your goals, my goals will be to see you reach your goals. Your goals are to see me reach my goals. Hallelujah. I mean, it sends chills up and down my spine when I think about that type of fellowship. Does this only apply to those that are lovable? Does this only apply to those that are doing things the way we think they should do them? Does this only apply to people who think the way we think? No. The Bible makes no exception but to esteem others better than ourselves. I ask you this question, is there anyone in your life that you feel okay treating disrespectfully because somehow they haven't earned respect? And that you will not esteem them greater than yourself? Is there anyone in your life of that nature? Unfortunately, we live in a time and an era where I believe there's a growing disrespect for any type of leadership. You listen to people talk about the government, our president. You listen to people talk about school teachers. You listen to people talk about policemen. I had a guy rant and rave one day that he pulled into a handicapped parking spot at Walmart, and a policeman pulled in, and he only pulled in there for 5 minutes. He was just running in to get something. His wife was. He was waiting in the car, but he pulled into the handicapped spot because it was close to the door. Policeman drove through the parking lot and arrested him for being parked in the handicapped spot, and he was telling me how stupid, irresponsible and disrespectful this policeman was for arresting him for just stopping there for 5 minutes in that handicapped parking spot. You do the crime, you do the time. You know what I mean? There's laws that are in place. If you choose to disregard them, it's not the officer's fault. It doesn't mean that you can just disrespect him then, because he's doing his job. There are those of you teenagers here this morning that maybe your parents are asking you to do something that you don't agree with. That you don't agree with. Are you willing to esteem them better than yourself? And to give them the honor and the respect that is due in their position? Even though they're not doing it right, even though they don't get it right. You know what? My heart's desire for everyone, what motivates me on a Sunday morning to get up early when it's dark to prepare a message is to see someone have the courage to carry on and to make it another day. That blesses my heart. That's what motivates me. I want to see you make it. I want to see you have the courage to live in a dark, dirty world and not be part of it and make it to the finish line. That's my heart's desire for you. But you know what? I don't always get it right. But I want to esteem you better than myself, according to this scripture. Because I believe this morning that when we do this for each other, at work, or wherever it might be, that when we esteem each other better than ourselves, then the power of God will be able to move through us in relationship. And it'll be the beautiful thing that God has created it to be. God's heart is for the church. His heart is for you and I. And He wants us to fellowship in unity, being of the same mind, having of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Which brings me to the point that I want to ask you this morning. What are you pursuing in life? And I had to think about how it is that we give our lives in the pursuit of our own selfish gratification many times. We give our lives, our energy, and ourselves to our own selfish gratification. You're welcome to challenge me if I'm wrong. You're welcome to correct me. But I believe that many times, that is what motivates us. Think about it. At a young age, parents are teaching their children today that they need to have a high self-esteem, that they need to be somebody. When you're ever in a conversation with two adults or speaking and a child runs up and they interrupt and everything stops until that child is ministered to. You know what it says to the child? It says to the child that I am better and I am above everything else. That's what it's established. That's what it's establishing in that child's mind. And those children then grow up to be adults thinking that everything will stop when I have a need. Everything will stop when I have a need. Everything circles around me. We're taught at a young age. Parents are teaching their children that it's all about them and it's important. In the corporate world, it's about getting that promotion that I deserve. There's a promotion, there's a position that's up for grabs. You know what? I'm best qualified. My coworker, not him. If Brandon, he's not ready yet. Now I'm ready for that position. See what I'm saying? We do that. The corporate world, that's the way it works. You go for that position. You go, girl. You go, guy. And you get that position. But you know what? I want Brandon to succeed. Brandon's going to do a great job. I cannot lay myself down. And there's nothing going on with Brandon and me. It's just Brandon and I work together. Okay, we work together every day. And, you know, I want him to succeed. See, that's not corporate. That's not the corporate mindset. The corporate mindset is get all that you can get. Get the next position. Because you deserve it. You have worked hard. You have educated yourself. And that position is for me. In the sports world, it's about being the best. You see, it's all about being able to achieve and become all that you can be. In the sports world, you know, the guy that the best running back or quarterback or back flopper or whatever he is, be all that he can be. And he's somebody that gets talked about then, you see. We need to fight that urge deep down inside for us to be there and be part of that and become part of all this here, lifting up self. And I think one of the biggest detriments to Christianity has been this emphasis on self-esteem. The Bible doesn't say that. It says esteem others better than yourself. Does that mean that you don't work to achieve and to be all that you can be in Jesus Christ? The Bible says that everything you do, do it as unto the Lord and do it to the best of your ability. Who are you doing it to? Who are you doing it to? Who are you doing it for? You're doing it as unto the Lord for His benefit, for His glory. It says here in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. And I think about how often we work ourselves to the bone so that we can have all the perks in life. Think about it. We pursue happiness. I'm not happy with that. I'm not happy with my car. I'm not happy with my house. I'm not happy with the position I have at work. And we pursue happiness. It's all about pursuing our own happiness. Trust me, I know that this doesn't all apply to every person that is sitting here this morning. This is just where God has led me to talk about. We strive to achieve health. Think about it. We won't go to church because somebody might have a snotty nose and we might catch it. We don't go somewhere else, or we spend all kinds of money and time and energy into achieving health. See, about our own comfort. We labor for our own comfort. We vacation for our own rest. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe it is God's heart that in all of this, in pursuing the well-being of others, we need to get over ourselves. You see what I'm saying? In pursuing the well-being of others, if I'm going to esteem others better than myself, then I need to get over myself. You see, I'm going to have to give up some of my comforts. I'm going to have to give up maybe the better car that I could drive. I'm going to have to give up maybe the better house that I could have. Maybe to help someone else. If I esteem them better than myself, I'm going to have to allow someone else to get the credit that I think I should have. If I'm going to esteem someone else better than myself, I need to step out of my comfort zone and initiate conversation where it's difficult. I need to forget about the issues and listen to someone else. When I esteem someone better than myself, I will forget about my own issues and listen to someone else for a change. I will listen to them. I will hear what they have to say. I will listen to what their concerns, their hurts and heartaches are. If I will esteem them better than myself, then I will listen. I will lend a listening ear. I will help someone to reach their goals in life. I will rejoice with that coworker that gets a promotion. I'll be happy for the guy that just beat me in basketball. I'll be happy for him. I'll truly feel it. I'll rejoice with him. You see, when I esteem him better than myself, I will come to church with the intent to give, not for what I can get out of it. I will come to church with the intent to give, not what I can get out of it. Can you imagine a church full of people that have come to give? And I thank you. I thank you for doing that. Keep it up. A church full of people that comes to give, not for what I can get, but comes to give. I assure you this morning, if you're going through a difficult time and you feel like you need encouragement, one of the most encouraging things that psychologists and the Bible has spoken to as one of the most encouraging things that you can do is reach out to someone else that's in need. Reach out to someone else that's in need. You see, when we allow the actions of other people to irritate us, you know what it does? It keeps us from being able to recognize them as it keeps us from esteeming them as better than ourselves. And we're all guilty of that. We have something that's agitating us, irritating us, and we fail to grasp the opportunity. I don't know if I shared this or not, but I'll share it again. I was sitting in the lunchroom. Now, I might have shared this, but I was sitting in the lunchroom, and there's a gentleman that was in the lunchroom that I went to the lunchroom at break time. Phones were busy that morning, and I wanted just a little time to sit down and be quiet and look at the newspaper a little bit. And there's this gentleman that came in and spend time talking. It wasn't Brandon. And this happened for about 2 weeks. This happened. And I find myself getting a little agitated, a little irritated. And here about 3 weeks ago, somebody, he walked in through the showroom there, and somebody commented that it was his last day, he had quit. All of a sudden, I was smitten in my heart that I left that irritation, missed the opportunity for this man, 70 years old, needs to see Jesus. I left that irritation stand in the way of me speaking to him. I don't know why he was coming to me for 2 weeks straight, because I didn't listen enough to know. You follow what I'm saying? We let people irritate us, and we miss it. The book called Speaking the Truth in Love, and there's a quote here that I want to share with you that I think is very inspirational. If you tie your emotional well-being to other people's behavior, you will probably be upset a great deal of the time. Let me read that again. If you tie your emotional well-being to other people's behavior, you will probably be upset a great deal of the time. Others usually do not dedicate their lives to behaving only in ways that are designed to make you happy. You must own your feelings. If you can accept the fact that other people are not directly causing your emotional life, you can then give attention to your own thinking. Thinking is a process by which you sometimes generate your feelings, and the process you can also use to change those feelings. If you don't allow the irritations of other people or whatever it is to control your emotions, you see, now I'm in bondage to that person. If that person irritates me in such a way that I am not able to even to stop and to share the gospel message with him or give him the time of day, then I am in bondage to them. Lou Gehrig, and you'll recognize the name from its being attached to a disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. Lou Gehrig was the first baseman of the New York Yankees. He died on June the 2nd, 1941 of ALS, later called Lou Gehrig's disease. The doctors really didn't know how to treat it, so he was in the hospital for a long time, and as they experimented with different drugs, trying to find one that would work. Just before he died, Lou Gehrig called his friend Bob Constantine and said, "Bob, I have great news. The boys in the lab have come up with a new serum, and they're trying it on 10 of us, and it seems to be working well on 9 out of 10. Bob Constantine asked, "Is it working on you, Lou?" Lou answered, "Well, no. But 9 out of 10, how do you like those odds?" He was really joyful because 9 out of 10 were being helped. And I ask you this morning, do you esteem others in such a way that it really doesn't matter if I get what I want? As long as the person next to me, my child, my father, my mother, the people in church with me, as long as they're reaching their goal, they're making it. I'm not saying that we should be careless about reaching our goals in Jesus Christ. but physically. Physically. Does it matter more to you? When you come through the church doors on a Sunday morning and you see a mother struggling with young children, does it ever inspire you to help her? You know, these are ways, these are simple ways that we can esteem others better than ourselves. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're sitting beside a visitor. Take the time to stop and say, welcome, thank you, glad you came here this morning. If there's any way we can help you in the Lord, we will do that. You see, you esteem others better than yourself. Or if there's someone struggling with a heavy burden of grief this morning, when you esteem them better than yourself, you will go and put an arm around them and say, how can I help you? Or you'll weep with them, or you'll walk with them through this here heavy burden. Look at the prayer list. See what it is that people are sharing that need prayer for. And when you esteem them better than yourself, you will genuinely pray for them, send them a card, or reach out and speak to them. You see, and in order to do all this stuff, I need to get over myself. In order to do all these things, I need to get over myself and see what, let's look at what happens. In verse 4, it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Okay, we're learning how to do that. What happens when we do that? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Okay, we see Jesus showed us how to do that. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Our master, our teacher, our leader showed us how to do this. He went to the cross for you and I. Therefore God, and this is what will happen, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you are willing to humble yourself, then God will lift you up. God will bring you what is yours. Thinking what is mine. That's not true. God will lift you up. See, whatever you do, let it be to the honor and the glory of God. If you want to forget your own problems, focus on somebody else's. If you want to forget your own problems, focus on somebody else's. The prophet Isaiah knew that a long time ago. In Isaiah 58, 10 through 12 says, If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become noonday. Let me read that again. Then your light will rise in the darkness. If you're willing to spend yourself on the hungry and the oppressed. And I'm talking about spiritually as well as physically. Then your light, your night will become like noonday. That dark cloud that is hanging over you will soon begin to see some sunshine if you'll look to and reach out to the needs of others. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs and strengthen you. Strengthen your frame. So that's the challenge I leave with you this morning. That's the challenge I leave with you. I believe that this morning that God has a purpose, He has a plan, and His heart is for His church. And when we learn to esteem others better than ourselves, it will be accomplished. Father, we thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, that we have opportunity today to praise you and rejoice in the written word. I thank you, Father, for this here word that you have shared with us this morning. I pray that you would take the seed that is planted and that you would protect it, and that to your honor and glory, that it would manifest itself in such a way that your kingdom would benefit from it. Father, help us to recognize the areas that we're doing things for our own benefit, for our own glory. And help us, Lord, to lay those things down and see the purpose that you've called us to in lifting up others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the chorister to lead us in song at this time.